States Dressage Federation's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford. On this week's episode, we remember Captain Jotun Fritz, who was inducted into the Rumor Foundation USDF Hall of Fame in 2000. And there is an accompanying article in the April issue of Connections magazine. We'll also be hearing from Vicky Trout about the Hall of Fame and Lifetime Achievement nominations. And finally, Betsy Steiner and Kathy Connolly will present an excerpt from the 2014 Adequan USDF Annual Meetings Education Seminar on creating a winning partnership for your horse. But first, the USDF would like to congratulate its new FEI B-level certified instructors. They are Jennifer Baumert, Volker Brommen, Stacey Hastings, and Rachel Savadra. The FEI exam was held March 24th through the 25th in Santa Rosa, California, and the examining panel included Lilo Four, Kathy Connolly, and Hilda Gurney. And in a future episode, we will be speaking to one of those instructors and graduates. And now we reflect on the life and career of Captain Jotun Fritz. In recognition of his outstanding leadership in many equestrian organizations to advance the sport of dressage, the USDF inducted Captain Jotun Fritz in 2000 to the Rumor Foundation USDF Hall of Fame. Captain Fritz played a major role in the founding of the USDF and the growth of the United States Pony Clubs, and was the driving force in the initiation of the North American Young Rider Championships. Captain Fritz was very effective for several decades in promoting the dressage programs of the American Horse Shows Association and the United States Equestrian Team, and was a leading dressage judge and technical delegate. A retired professor of history at Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey, Captain Jack volunteered his expertise and countless hours to the development and promotion of equestrian sports and organizations. Fritz rode hunters and jumpers in his youth. As a student of Princeton, New Jersey University in the late 1940s, he developed an interest in dressage. He rode with the Princeton Riding Club, which was run by Anita Hazek, an Austrian native who had trained at the Spanish Riding School after World War II. At the Riding Club, he also had the opportunity to study with Major Dessó Salgi, a graduate of the Hungarian Cavalry School. After college, Fritz entered military service. While stationed in Tokyo during the Korean War, he rode regularly at the Imperial Palace, taking instruction from two members of the 1932 Japanese Olympic dressage and eventing teams. In the spring of 1952, he participated in a show jumping competition that included Crown Prince Akihito, who later became the Emperor of Japan. Fritz had been a driving force behind several equestrian organizations for more than 50 years. In 1951, when the United States Equestrian Team was established, he joined and soon assumed a leadership role. By 1965, he was the director of the new organization. From 1974 to 1989, he served as the USET's executive vice president. Later, he would go on to a volunteer role as the USET's assistant secretary treasurer. Fritz became similarly involved in the United States Pony Clubs. He joined the USPC in 1955, a year after its founding, and soon became its president. Through his friendship with Alexander Mackay Smith, a fox hunting enthusiast who was the founding editor of the English Riding World's news weekly Bible, The Chronicle of the Horse, Fritz became involved in the sport of eventing. He would help found the United States Combined Training Association, now the USEA, in 1959, and would serve as the USCTA's governor, vice president, and advisory committee member. As if that weren't enough, Fritz had been active in the United States Equestrian Federation, formerly the American Horse Shows Association, since the 1960s. He served as both chair and a member of the AHSA Dressage and Eventing Committees, and played an important role in establishing the AHSA's rules for those disciplines. A driving enthusiast to boot, Fritz is also a founding member of the Gladstone, New Jersey Driving Association. Fritz helped to establish several regional dressage organizations in the U.S. in the early 1970s, including the Eastern States Dressage and Combined Training Association and the Delaware Valley Combined Training Association. He lent his support to the movement to establish a national dressage organization and attended the founding meeting of the United States Dressage Federation in Lincoln, Nebraska in 1973. The USDF founder Lowell Boomer called on Fritz's leadership skills and knowledge of the equestrian community's political workings to chair the proceedings and keep order. With his keen sense of humor and his air of authority, Fritz inspired the attendees to work together to lay the groundwork for the new organization. Like Hans Müller, Fritz was a strong supporter of young riders. He believed that young riders in North America needed a continental championships similar to those held in Europe, and the creation of the North American Young Rider Championships in the 1970s is largely the result of his efforts. The eventing competition debuted first in 1974, with dressage joining the NAJYRC in 1981 and jumping in 1983. Somehow, Fritz also found the time to earn his judges and technical delegates' licenses. He became one of the first dressage and eventing judges in the US in the 1950s. He later earned FEII credentials in both sports, officiating at the 1984 Olympic Games, the 1987 Pan American Games, and six European Pony Riders Continental Championships. Captain Jack's endless energy and get-it-done attitude was a huge driving force behind the advancement of equestrian sports in the US, and for his contributions to dressage, the USDF inducted him into the Rimmer Foundation Hall of Fame in 2000. For more information about Captain John Fritz and other inductees, please visit the website at usdf.org. and click on the link to the Rimmer Foundation USDF Hall of Fame. The April edition of Connection magazine has an accompanying article on Captain John Fritz.
I'm Victoria Trout, USDF Education Coordinator and liaison to the Historical Recognition Committee. This committee's mission is to recognize and celebrate the rich heritage of dressage in America through education and promotion. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about the Lifetime Achievement and Hall of Fame Awards. The Lifetime Achievement and Hall of Fame Awards are presented at the annual Salute Gala and Awards Banquets. Portraits of each of these winners are housed in the Romare Foundation /USDF Hall of Fame in Lexington, Kentucky. But before those awards can be given away, we have to have nominations from our membership. The deadline for nominations is May 1st of each year. Any nomination that we get after May 1st would be considered in the following year. We welcome any USDF member to nominate a horse for the Hall of Fame or to nominate a person for the Hall of Fame or Lifetime Achievement Awards. We often get questions about the difference between the Hall of Fame and the Lifetime Achievement Awards. My goal today is to help identify the differences between the two awards and to get you thinking about someone you'd like to nominate. The USDF Hall of Fame was established to honor and preserve the achievements of the people and horses that have made outstanding contributions to the growth, development, quality, popularity, and appreciation of dressage in the United States. Individuals to be considered for inclusion in the Hall of Fame should demonstrate longevity of excellence in the sport of dressage and have made outstanding contributions to the growth, development, quality, popularity, and appreciation of the sport of dressage in the United States. A nominee's activities must be sustained and national or regional in scope. past Hall of Fame inductees include names such as Robert Dover, Sally Swift, Carl Mikulka, and Lowell Boomer. The Lifetime Achievement Award, on the other hand, recognizes long and faithful volunteer service to USDF. Individuals considered for the USDF Lifetime Achievement Award are those who have demonstrated a lifelong dedication to USDF and its mission. These individuals may have been a member of the executive board. They could be a USDF committee or council chair, a president of a GMO who influenced the development of dressage in his or her area, or who influenced the direction of USDF. A Lifetime Achievement Award nominee could be a member who developed or assisted in the development of a new project or committee which greatly influenced USDF. Past Lifetime Achievement Award winners include names such as Marilyn Heath, Colonel Clarence Edmonds, and Marion Ludwig. The Historical Recognition Committee does have the ability to move nominees from one category to the other. So if you're unsure which category to nominate for, you can pick either the Hall of Fame or the Lifetime Achievement Award. The most important thing is to get your nominee's name in front of the committee. If you can think of any individual or horse you think is deserving of one of these awards, please don't hesitate to fill out a nomination form. If you need help gathering information for the nomination, I'm here to help you with that too. You can find more information about these two awards, along with nomination forms, at usdf.org/Hall of Fame. Questions can also be directed to me at hallofame@usdf.org. Thank you, and I look forward to seeing your nomination soon.
And now, Betsy Steiner and Kathy Connolly present an excerpt from the 2014 Adequan USDF Annual Meeting Education Seminar entitled Creating a Winning Partnership for Your Horse.
We would like to thank USDF, Stefan Hench, George Williams, and us to co-train this clinic. We are very excited about it, and as you know, it will go to all 9 regions of the United States to be asked to do this. We would most especially like to thank all the participants who will take part in these clinics that we're looking so forward to doing, the riders, the auditors that will be there, and it's for the next 2 years, so we're pretty thrilled about this. And I'd like to thank Betsy Steiner for doing this with me, very close dear friend. We've done a lot of things together.
I have to say I'm thrilled and excited to be working together with my lifelong and very good friend, Kathy. Kathy is an extraordinary soul. For those of you who know her, you know that. And she's really one of a kind. I've always respected her as a rider, coach, and trainer. I know she gives 100% in everything that she does. Everything. She has an amazing and wonderful empathy for her horses and her riders time and time again. I've experienced that personally because she's coached me on various horses, and I have gained a world of knowledge from her and her understanding and her feeling for me personally, what I was doing and that individual horse that I was working with. And it was just a wonderful experience. And that one-to-one. I've watched her through the years with her various horses, the people that she's trained, the horses she's trained. She's always positive. She's a joy to work with and just a great, great soul. So I think we're really going to have a lot of fun, and I'm really looking forward to all these clinics. Our goal is to make riders and auditors in these clinics to feel welcome and comfortable. We really want to bring that across. We want everybody to come. We want you to feel it's a place to come and share in working and learning together, that it's not something scary or out of reach, but it's something really that you can come and be a part of, work together with us. We have a mission statement, and our mission statement is to educate, motivate, and inspire the horses and riders that we get to work with. And I think that's our goal. But we want to know what you want. But in the meantime, I think we should both talk a little bit shortly about our philosophies. And my philosophy is based on mind, body, and spirit approach. Taking that down, the mind approach is the knowledge of technically knowing what you're doing. So technically knowing how to ride a movement, technically knowing how to get a horse on the bit, technically knowing the training scale, different things like that. So it's the technique, the knowledge of those things. You always have to think of, okay, that's the person or the rider's perspective, but what's the horse's perspective? You have to understand in the mind segment what your horse knows, what his background is, where he comes from. How much did he know before you got him? Did he know anything? Was it good or was it bad? And sort of assess that knowledge, that part of it. And I'm a real big person for body awareness. I think it's just such a key element for a rider to become an equal athlete to the expectations of the horse's athleticism. I think we owe that to our horses. That doesn't mean you have to be a fitness freak at all. What you have to do is get appropriate for you. Know where your body is. Know how to work. Do appropriate workouts that work together for you and your horse. That, I think, is of the utmost importance. Again, comparing that to the horse, then you bring the horse into the picture, and knowing your horse and his body, and knowing how he may think about his body. Is he aware? Some horses are very aware of their own bodies. Some know how they function. Others are a little bit slower with that. So know where your horse's good feeling is about his body. So that would be the second part. The third part is the spirit. And this is the heart and soul. This is, to me, everything. This is where our feelings and emotions connect to our horses. It's a genuine love and caring for your horse, and a genuine wanting to work together, not have him as something that works for you, but something that where you mold together and you work and you have a connection and an understanding. That's where the magic appears. That's where you see riders like Laura Graves and her wonderful horse, where it's more than technique and it's more than body awareness. It's that connection. It's that love and appreciation where the horse sees the rider come into the barn and he walks to the front of the stall and whinnies to you. And to me, that's what this should be about. Training should be about that. So that's, in a nutshell, my philosophy on it. And Kathy, would you like to share your approach and your thoughts on your philosophies?
Thank you, Betsy. I want to say first, I'm very flattered by your very kind words about me, and I'm so delighted and joyful to be joining with Betsy in this clinic series. We've been very dear, close friends for a very long time and have had more fun and laughs than we can ever recount. We co-trained two clinics in Gladstone many years ago that many adult riders came to, and we had such a good time with that, and we made so many friends at that time that are still our good friends now and come and ride with us. We both trained also together in Germany with Herbert Rabein, who was one of the really icons in history for dressage.
And Kathy, can I interrupt you just a second? Bringing up Herbert makes me think about one of the greatest things he taught us and that you and I learned from him was how to work together as professionals. Mm-hmm. Herbert would see Klimke at a horse show, and the two of them would get together. And I remember a time where Reiner Klimke asked Herbert to get on and do the twos for him at a horse show. And they just shared their wisdom and their understanding freely. And I thought it was beautiful, so I won't interrupt anymore. Go ahead.
Well, that's true. Herbert, immeasurable amounts for our country back in the late 80s and 90s, and he was an extraordinary person with God-gift talents, but he never acted like that. He was a bigger-than-life person who influenced us deeply and changed many people and horses and trainers' horizons forever. That was a time when Kira Kirkland was training there, Louise Knockhorse was training there, and we'd go 7 o'clock in the morning and see all these people training, and he was so generous. Yes. To both of us. And I remember one time that I had trained in Vienna with Ernst Bockinger the year before because I had wanted to train some long running. This is after I rode in the World Cup, and I wanted to learn more about what a horse thought in different stages of Piaf. And I spoke to Herbert because he was my main trainer and mentor and said I wanted to do that. He said, no problem. I said, I want to come next year and Barnes knew that because I always believe in being upfront about everything. And the next year while I was at Herbert's, Ernst came. And it was phenomenal because Herbert lived what he thought. Not only do you think we should all go home and work together as trainers and help each other, but they were doing it. And he was very interested in what Ernst did with the long lines, and Ernst was very interested in what Herbert did in one tempis and pirouettes. For Betsy, I have the most high possible respect for her as a trainer, coach, and rider. She is an icon in our industry. And for me, the most important thing in life for any person is to have a good heart. And Betsy Steiner has a very good heart. So to just say a few thoughts about my approach, I believe that we, you, all the trainers, riders, owners of the horses, that we are shepherds for the horses while they're on the earth. We are here to help guide them and be shepherds for them. I love training horses and people, and I feel very blessed to have this job in life. We know that learning is a lifelong process. That is why we are all so passionate about it. And some people call what we do an addiction. I think it's a passion. It's a passion. You know when it happened to you. Betsy knows when it happened to her. I know when it happened to me. And once it happens to you, that's it. You know, it is there. And horses have taken such a noble place in history, and it's because, and what gets us, it's because their talent, their grace, their beauty that's contained in their bodies and is expressed through their souls and their emotions and their heart and their spirits is very evident. And Michelangelo said that the sculpture is in the marble. You just have to know which pieces of marble to take away. And that's what we need to think about when we're training a horse, that it's already in them. What they can do and are willing to do for us is already in them. We just have to learn how to bring out each horse's talent while keeping intact the individuality of that horse's soul, his dignity, and the sparkle of his spirit. You know that Shakespeare said, the eyes are the window to the soul. And for so many, for everybody, for trainers, I remember once Debbie McDonald was asked, what does she first look at when she looks at a horse? And she said, the horse's eyes. And you know your own horses, and when you walk in the stall with them, not just the riding time you spend, but the time you spend, all the other things that you do on the ground and being with them. When I competed in Europe and had to ship my horses, I went in the plane with them, because I didn't want them to be out on a runway somewhere without me there. And I was fortunate to be able to have a groom go with me, but they sat in the passenger section because I knew I wanted to be there and not be separate from them at that time for all the things they were doing for me. Horses learn, we know, through trust, kindness, patience, clarity, association, and then repetition. And by feeling good about themselves and their trainer, just like you like to feel good about yourself. Once a horse has given you his heart, then he will give you his mind. And that is what Betsy was saying too, and that is the window and the journey into training. That is my belief. Our primary approach should always be to do no harm. Force is never an option. Horses are like children. They cannot defend themselves, nor should they ever have to do that. And if they don't do something, it's because of one of two things. Either they don't understand because it's not clear enough, so our job then is to be more clear, or it's because they can't do it for some physical reason. Something hurts or some other mental thing that we need to help them with so they can come to be that. The following two concepts go together, and one is from Xenophon and the other one is from A Course in Miracles. Xenophon, when he talked in his writings about training, he called it gentling the horses. He called riding gentling. And that's really what it is. And then in A Course in Miracles, it says, infinite patience produces infinite results. And patience is a chosen attitude and a matter of adjusting our inner tempos. I always say, all's well that begins well, because I know what the other end of that is, all's well that ends well. But sometimes all's well that begins well doesn't go too well in the middle, but it can still end well if we adjust our inner dial and our tempo to become what our horse needs and clarity to come to the place that he would like to be and still feel good about himself. The success of a winning partnership as the horse's leader, which is what we all are, is the uphill positive attitude that we keep to help our horses feel that something good is going to happen to them. And I want to say that I'm constantly touched through my life by the magnitude of spirit that horses carry. And that's what we need to be aware of so that we can be a partner to them. So that's my feeling about training.
Awesome theory to have. I just have a one short little story about, speaking of the horse's soul, I did a clinic recently, and this lady was a wonderful rider, and the horse was a really, really nice horse, and she warmed up a little bit, and I said, well, would you like to tell me what you'd like to work on? And she stopped, and I was standing in front of the horse, and the horse and I were eye to eye. And she said, well, he doesn't do this, and he doesn't do that, and I'd like him to, but he doesn't. She wanted with her heart and soul to do more and to have him do more. And he's looking at me the whole time, and then he literally walked over, put his head right on my chest, and stood like, I put my arms around his head while she continued, and I said, stop. I said, let's listen to him, because he's giving me a different story, I think. And she felt so bad. She said, I didn't realize I was just saying negative things about him. And I said, they feel that. I believe they really, really feel it. And they really work on praise. It's not to say that discipline doesn't have a place, but it's short, sweet, and unemotional, and fair, and then move on. But praise is something. And the look on this horse's face and how he responded, it just melted my heart. And I thought, you know, we all have to think about that. I have to think about it in my work. Am I wanting too much and asking him too much at a time that's inappropriate? And if so, give him a break. Let them understand. So I think those are important things for us just to think of as riders.
I think also that we need to also, as trainers, approach our riders that way, the way that Betsy so beautifully described training the horses. You should expect, as a person going for a lesson, going for a clinic, being trained, that your dignity will be left intact. The same way that you walked in the arena, you should walk out with that same dignity, and you should be treated the same way that Betsy was talking about with the horses. There should never be a subtraction or diminishment of you as a person who just brought your most treasured possession, and then someone is verbally negative with you.
Betsy and Kathy will be the clinic presenters for the upcoming USDF Adult Clinic Series, an in-depth two-day seminar on this topic. And you can find the dates for this clinic and other seminars at the USDF's website at usdf.org and following the link to the USDF education calendar. And a reminder that the deadline for the USDF Hall of Fame and Lifetime Achievement Award nominations is May the 1st. Remember to visit eTrack for more trainers' tips and other educational information on the website at usdf.org. For those of you who prefer to listen to the show on the go, you can download the podcast from the iTunes podcast store to your smartphone podcast app or tablet. And you can also now find the podcast on Stitcher at stitcher.com. That also has an app that you can download to your smartphone. Until next week, thank you for listening. And remember, the USDF is your connection to the American dressage community.